talking hockey. Meraldo and Shipley talking hockey. Finally big money.
Oh, hello and welcome to That's Hockey Talk. I think I know what that's in reference to. That intro, of course, by our pal, the pals, our northern friend, Bubba Gumpino. Gumpy, how you doing?
Great day to talk some hockey, pal.
Amen. I am your host, of course, Nick Meraldo. And joining us, as always, on the West Coast, out in the desert, getting his pool measured today. Big, exciting times for this Super Bowl champion, Mr. AQ Shipley. AQ, how are you?
Great, boys. How we doing?
We're doing great, buddy, but we're here to talk about you and your rollerblades. I saw that you got a new set of blades. You asked me about what I thought you should do. I recommended a pair. You followed my advice to a T. You went out and got them, and then you hit me up yesterday. Say, hey, how do I stop on these things? There's no stoppers on the back, dude. You don't want to be a nerd.
Let me tell you a quick story. I told Pat this story last night. So I went out and I tried to rollerblade. And it's been a long time since I rollerbladed. I was a real good rollerblade hockey player back in fifth grade, sixth grade. That was about the last time I put a pair of rollerblades on. I felt like Bambi on skates yesterday. I mean, this thing was unbelievable. I put these on. I'm falling. I literally did like the whole like.
Oh, we saw. We saw. Pack. You looked ridiculous.
You saw. Yeah, it wasn't good. So then I go outside. I'm like, once I get in the street and I get the open lane going,
momentum.
I get the stride going, I'm gonna be good. This is gonna be good. I get, 30, 40 feet from my house. I go up over a speed bump. I go down. I go, I don't know how to fucking stop. I don't know what's about to happen. So I start veering towards this. The side of the street, and I'm like, I still don't know what to do. I don't know how to stop, and I literally just launched myself 2 feet into somebody's front yard. Just jump. That's how I stopped. I'm like, I'm not falling on concrete, so that's what I did. That's how I stopped, and then I found my way back home, and I've been Googling and YouTubing how to rollerblade for the last 30 hours.
Okay, maybe you do get the stoppers, and you do risk looking like a nerd, so you just don't bust your ass. That's like, I'm assuming it's pretty flat out there, relatively flat.
All flat.
Yeah, so like, you know, this growing up back in PA, a lot of hills, a lot of slopes, steep grades. So like, we had the rollerblades on, we'd strap them, we'd go up the street to play roller hockey. My buddies, getting up the hill was a bitch to get there, and then coming back down, you're not just straight shooting that thing. Like, you had to cut it like a slalom and slide and slope, and then you know, every once in a while you had to burn somebody's yard to slow down a little bit. So you went with the classic route of just sliding right through the yard to put the brakes on.
Oh yeah, Pat was talking to me last night. He was like, oh man, I wish somebody had a ring camera and we could get that footage of you jumping into the yard. But I don't think it's there. It would be quite a video.
It's like gorilla on rollerblades doing it in my yard.
Well,
I'm happy to see that you're continuing your fitness trends. You look good. I hope you feel good. You'll pick it up, but you just need to stick with it. Just don't give up on it. Stick with
it. I'm not. I'm giving up. I mean, I'm not going to give up. You know that.
Happy to hear it. Proud of you. Let's get to the action on the ice. A couple teams clinched playoff spots last night, actually. So the Panthers and Lightning both finally clinched. We knew they were going to be in for a long time now. They finally just make it official. They joined the Hurricanes. As another team had already clinched. And then you look through, and in the Central, it's Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, in that order. And then Nashville and Dallas are battling it out for that last spot. Nashville currently has it right now, 56 points and 51 games played. Dallas, Gumpy, your Stars, 49 games played and 54 points. So this is about as tight as it gets right here. And I don't know who's going to take it. I thought Dallas was dead and buried. We also thought Nashville was dead and buried before the trade deadline, but they've been on an impressive run since then. Well, do you think your Stars got it? Jason Robertson, the rookie there, has been on a run there, and it looks like it's rejuvenated everybody else.
If anybody can do it, it's the Stars. You saw what they did last year when they got hot. I mean, a lot of people counted them out, but here we are. Yeah,
I did. I thought they were done.
They got a shot, man. I mean, that was the thing with losing all those games to COVID to start the season, is it always kind of felt like it was going to be like this in the end, where it was going to be up to them whether they got in or not.
Yeah, now they're going to have to go on quite a run. But they're getting healthier. They're getting guys back. So again, supposed to come back soon, I think. And then you look over at the West, Vegas. Right now, 70 points in first, Colorado 66 in second, Minnesota 65 in third. Those three teams have all clinched. And the battle for the fourth spot again, St. Louis right now, 46 game played, 48 points, Arizona, 49 games played, 47 points. So that, to me, feels like it's St. Louis's situation to lose. I feel like it's going to be – that's a lot of ground to make up for Arizona when they're already a point behind, and they're not even above 500 right now. They're sitting at 480. St. Louis is a very good team. I think they're going to hold down and lock down that spot. What do you think, Q? Do you think your Coyotes can pull off some magic here?
I do. I mean, I think they're playing well. I mean, they're getting a heck of a lot more production from Phil Kessel this year, which they certainly hoped they gave him last year. And, you know, I think they're a good team. I think they got the ability to do it. Tocchet's a heck of a coach. He's been there, done that. So I do. I think they got a chance to make a run here and take that spot.
They're going to need a little help. They're going to need St. Louis to slip up a little bit down the way. Looking at the East real quick, Washington, Pittsburgh, the Islanders. Looks like they're all solid plays in Boston. Sitting in fourth with 62 points with two games in hand on the Rangers, who are right behind them with 58 points. The Rangers, I think, are surprising a lot of people. I mean, they're over 500. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. Their goal differential is outstanding. They're the only team right now, I think, with a positive goal differential that isn't going to make it, potentially. But I don't see Boston letting that go either. I think they're going to – it seems like they've kind of found their groove now. Taylor Hall's really paying dividends for them, much to your chagrin, much to my chagrin. But, man, he scored against Penguins the other night. He scored a beauty, and that looked like vintage Taylor Hall. That looked like MVP Taylor Hall the other night.
I'm glad he's showing up. I really am, because I was really hard on him at the deadline, and he has definitely provided a boost. It said, you know, Boston's coach made a comment about, you know, he came in with not a lot of confidence, and, you know, whatever he's done to find it and whatever they've done to kind of implement it. Now, granted, this has to be arguably, I mean, I don't even want to say arguably, it's the best team he's fucking been on in his entire career.
Easily.
So, you know, that's got to help. And, you know, again, I think you mentioned it at the deadline. He doesn't have to have the weight on his shoulders as the guy, and he can just go out and play freely. And I think that's obviously been able to help him a little bit in this game. And Boston looks good. I mean, they're playing a tough game. I mean, there's no question about it. They're playing solid. They played solid. They found their groove. They were obviously down a little bit, but they got a couple games in hand. I mean, I think they definitely take the four spot, but New York could slide in there. Who knows?
Yeah, and then the North – Leafs, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal sitting at four right now, 51 points. You thought Calgary was going to make a push there. It seemed like they were putting some things together, but Montreal's got a game in hand. Calgary's at 45 points, so that's going to be a mighty hill for them to get over. So you can pretty much take it to the bank, and it looks like we'll see that Toronto-Montreal playoff series in the first round, which would be pretty sweet. I think those two teams are actually going at it tonight. We talked about that on Hammer Down. Let's talk about the other big news that came out this week, the NHL agreeing to their secondary TV contract in the States with Turner Sports. So that's going to be TNT, TBS. What is it? Is it True TV? I think they have as well.
All the NCAA March Madness.
Yeah. So right. I made this earlier. I made this comment earlier on the live show on Pat's show. It's basically following the model that the NBA rode to quite a bit of success for a long time with their ratings. And now, granted, certain things have happened politically and otherwise lately in the NBA that have caused their ratings to dip a little bit. But regardless, I see this as a very good thing for the NHL. They're getting a lot of money. They're getting $1 billion annually from the three contracts that they have. They have the deal with ESPN that's going to include ESPN Plus, where ESPN gets four of the next 7 years of Stanley Cup finals. Then you're looking at the deal up in Canada, which is what Rogers.
Yeah,
that was like $355 million annually, and then this secondary contract with Turner, which grants them three Stanley Cup finals. The other ones that ESPN doesn't get, obviously, and they're also going to get games on HBO Max, which is pretty sweet. And that to me is a big win, because that's a huge casual viewership market that may not be into it otherwise. Or, you know, if you're just scanning the channels and you see games popping up on TBS, TNT, or you're scrolling through your HBO Max and you're like, oh shit, there we go. Some people were worried about the NHL having Stanley Cup Finals on cable as opposed to being on a network like NBC would carry it before, and now ESPN's getting it, but the ESPN is gonna go, the finals on ESPN are going to be on ABC. I think Turner might play around with trying to get it on CBS possibly. I don't know if anything concrete has been worked out there, or they'll just put it on TNT. But I feel like enough people now either have cable or are cutting the cord and can get it in another fashion online digitally. I think the digital market is huge for them. I think that's a smart play to roll up into ESPN Plus. I don't think they'll have the issues that ESPN Plus has with like UFC, because that's always like a bandwidth thing where everyone's trying to jam in there and get it at once. I think they've been doing it already with a couple games on there. I don't think you're going to see that huge type of demand and that bandwidth issue. And HBO Max is great because that's a lot more casual viewers who are, it's a different kind of audience who might get sucked in seeing that there are some live hockey games on there that they can tune into while they're scrolling.
What can you explain the expansive digital and highlight rights for Bleacher Report? What does that exactly mean?
I didn't look into it too hard, but just from my knowledge of doing what we've done for the past couple of years, that to me tells me that Bleacher Report's going to be able to use social media highlights of the NHL without penalty.
And they'll get them out faster too, AQ. Like if you follow just the NHL account, like they'll get clips up of goals and stuff, but they're way behind some of these other sites. And if Bleacher Report can do it legally, then it just makes it easier to have videos out there on Twitter.
Bingo. Like you'll see, like from our Twitter account, we try and post as much as we can in terms of highlights and everything. If the NHL really wanted to, they could come crack down on us at any moment and strike us for all of it and just, you know, whack us. And we often do have to tweet video because of that, because we don't want anything to happen to our stuff. But I mean, that's just the way it is. Luckily, the NHL is at least has a little bit of foresight to allow that sharing to happen, and they don't try and crack down on it so much, because in my opinion, like if you're spreading the good word of the game, you get more eyeballs on it. Like you don't want to be restrictive. I understand everybody's greedy and everybody wants their money, but at the same time, have a little foresight. This grows the game. This gets more eyeballs on it, gets more people to the TVs to watch the rest of the games. It's all trickle down.
This is something that needed to be done. I mean, at the end of the day, right? I mean, they needed to get more platforms to carry NHL games, and that's what they were able to do. So I think this is a big win for the NHL. And I do hope that they do continue to grow the NHL network, because I think that will only
absolutely
help as well.
Yeah, nothing should change there. That should only get better. Yeah.
The NHL network should be like the MLB network. So what the MLB network essentially does is it's a talk show.
Yep.
And they jump to games when there's action happening. But then if you get to where there's only one game on at that specific time, they just go to that game.
They pretty much do that. But yeah, sometimes they don't go all the way into that game. They'll just roll it and let it talk over. But I think they're managed, at least years ago, their social media was managed in the same way. They had an agreement with the MLB, and they share a studio with MLB Network. Okay. So I think they run a lot of simultaneous.
It feels like they're close.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of crossover in what they do. And because you'll see like Lauren Gardner, she does a lot of stuff for NHL Network.
Yep.
She also appears on MLB Network all the time.
Yep.
So I think they share hosts and they share strategies and everything.
Because that's the thing like that I don't get is like there's all these people that bitch like baseball's too long. I don't have time to watch. Like you don't have to watch a whole fucking game of hockey or a full game of baseball. You can watch NHL Network or MLB Network and they literally just cut to games. Like the times are not where you have to sit in front of a TV and watch one game for 4 hours.
Yeah.
That you don't
no
want
one's got
to.
Time to do that anymore,
and going back to what you were saying about Bleacher Report having the clips, like do you remember The Last Dance, AQ?
Mm-hmm.
So ESPN, when The Last Dance happened, anybody who cut clips from The Last Dance literally got a strike. Yeah. That was like the last big like take it down.
The MCAs, man, they will fuck up your account too.
Like if you post like I posted a Drake music video once and I got it.
Oh yeah. And you'll get hit with them like years later or months later and you won't even remember what you posted and it'll suspend your account. They'll fuck you. But
Bleacher Report is, I'll give it to them, like with NBA highlights, they got that up there. Like they're the first ones all the fucking time. So NHL to do that is very smart.
I was a little surprised by all this, by Turner getting the mix, because I thought it was going to stay with NBC, but apparently NBC basically lowballed them and offered up $100 million annually, which was less than half of what they're paying now. So I'm almost happy they're moving away from NBC, because it gives us a fresh start. And I hope they don't bring over a ton of talent from NBC. There's a few people I would like to, like Edzo to me is like a must get. Patrick Sharp has gotten really good at the studio role. I'd like to see him come over. And then some of the play-by-play guys NBC uses are pretty good. But I think we talked about this like beforehand. The NBA studio shows on Turner are electric.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
This guy's got character.
Barkley and Shaq, like they make that show. And Kenny the Jet and Ernie, they're great. Like that's an awesome show. It would be really cool if the NHL is able to replicate something like that, but they need to go all in with it. Like, don't bring in some stooge coach like Mike Milbury. Bring in someone who is at least relatively with the current time of the game, and hopefully some people who have won some things, like Patrick Sharp, three-time cup champion, that's pretty good. I think this has been the NHL's problem with this for a long time. It's like they don't have these elite players that played the game that are then willing to go talk about them on TV. Yeah. They're always the strong silent types, the Lemieux, the Gretzky's, and so on and so forth. You're going to need, like, at some point a superstar to transition into the TV realm and be able to do that, and they just haven't been able to find that guy. And I know it's not easy, but you got to look and you got to find somebody. Like, I thought, like, he'd never do it, but like a Nick Lidstrom is as silent as he was on the ice, but like I feel like he could be a good studio guy because the way he saw the game, I feel like he could break down in a manner that was relatable to people. I don't know who you guys got. I also thought like Jerome McGinley would be a great guy for like a studio show. Patrick Waugh would be awesome. Eccentric.
Well, he said he wants to get back into the game and coaching, but I mean, do that while you're waiting. Another guy, Nick. He was hated in Vancouver for no fucking reason. Like, they offered him that massive contract, and he took it. And he's fucking hilarious on Twitter. Roberto Luongo.
Oh, Gumpy, that's perfect.
He's fucking hysterical on Twitter. And for him to do something like that and kind of, you know, he got a hard time in Vancouver for no reason, man. If anybody offered you that contract, what are you supposed to do? Say no.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Every fucking time.
So he got a bad rap, and he's funny on Twitter. I like him.
He's great. Yeah. AQ, you got anybody in mind that jumps out to you?
Sean Avery.
Oh.
Yeah, he beats that drum on his Instagram all the time. Yeah,
does he?
He goes hard. I would love to hear that personality. Obviously, he couldn't go as hard, but I would love to hear him. I think he'd be great. The problem that you're going to run into is you got to get somebody that can dictate and speak. Like, right? You can't go get like a, I don't know, I'm going to throw this out. I mean, obviously he speaks better English now, but like Yami, right? Like, good personality, but like it may turn off a little bit with just the accent or, you know, being able to understand everything.
So let's assume they do like a four-chair studio show like the NBA does.
You're going to essentially need a talk show host.
Yeah, you like need a host. Ernie Adams. You need a host who's not a player to contribute, and you'll be able to find that. There's enough people talking about hockey on the internet or on TV now that can do that. Other guys, I think, like Biz and Witt from Spit and Chicklets, like obviously they're not as accomplished as players. They're great players, but like they don't have the cups on their resume and the individual awards and all that. But like, that in that sense, like if you're that good of a personality and can talk the game that well, that stuff doesn't matter to me. It's like those guys would be electric at it.
I'd even throw like, I mean, Mike Johnson does it in Canada.
He's
like,
great at
it. But he could do it fucking because he's that guy that you could have that the stats guy. Like, you know what I mean? I think you need that blend. That's why that NBA show is so good because they just got that perfect blend of guys.
And if you go with like four chairs, AQ, to your point, I think you can have someone who is maybe their English isn't the best for a little
almost
bit
like
of
a Big Poppy on the baseball show.
Kind of, yeah. Right? Like, and I don't want to say comedic relief, but like to lighten it up a little bit. Like, what jumped into my head was Ilya Bryzgalov.
Yeah.
Because that guy's a fucking character. And if you got him on there nightly talking about it, like, he's going to have some gems come out of his mouth. Gumpy Luongo was a great call. I love that. Like, he should rock up the list immediately. Another guy I thought of, AQ, Max Talbot.
Love it.
Yeah. Again, not as accomplished. Former Penguin player, though, that we know. Played for the Flyers as well. A lot of personality. He's got the resume. He's entertaining. He'd be great at it. And then PK Subban when he retires.
Like, down the road, that's who I was going to say, too. I just didn't think we could throw him into the mix yet since he's still playing.
Yeah, you'd even start doing in the playoffs and stuff like
Bingo.
That. Lots of MLB guys do that. If they don't make the playoffs, they hop on there.
So there's a lot of options out there, and I hope they don't mess that up if they go that route. Now, I'm assuming they'll have some type of studio show. I don't know if they'll do it as regularly or as big time as the NBA does it, but I think there's a lot of good options to create that avenue.
Absolutely. Hockey has characters, man. You just got to find them.
Got to find
them. And the guys want to have to do it, too.
True.
Like, I could see Luongo being like, I'm fine putting my feet up at home.
Because what's it worth him? Like, he's still getting paid from those teams.
Yep.
He's just at home living. You know, it's like a lot of those times those guys don't want to put themselves out there in fear of.
But even you can get like a younger guy. Like, I think Dustin Byfuglien would be awesome doing something like that.
He'd be great.
You know what I mean?
He'd be great at it.
Somebody else who's coming up on the end of the road would be quite a character is Bernsie from the Sharks.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a great one, too. Like, man, just Jumbo Joe when he finally decides to hang him up. Like, there are guys out there. I think you got to make an effort and you got to make a push and also sell those guys on it. Like, hey, this is really good for the sport. This is a way to give back to the sport when you're done playing. If you come back up here and talk about it, we're not trying to make you a fool out of you, you know? But like Shaq and Barkley and all those guys, they have a good time with it. Yeah. And then they can take a joke and, you know, but it's also different cultures. NBA culture is way different than NHL. So I understand that. But there's huge opportunity there with that. And I hope they take advantage of it. The other thing I wanted to get to today, this is going to be a quick one today. Because to be honest, there's not a lot going on other than this couple tight wild card races. And you know, the trade deadline's done now. We're looking forward towards the playoffs. Everybody's looking ahead. With the playoffs happening, the Monday Board of Governors meeting, Gary Bettman apparently made it very clear that there will be serious consequences for postseason COVID outbreaks. So if they find out that your team's not following the protocols and multiple guys, we have another outbreak. There's talk of if a team potentially can't finish a series or can't play a game, that they're legit going to forfeit. And I think that's the way it should be. I almost feel like they should have done that in the regular season instead of trying to grind these guys into the dirt to try and make up all these games. But it seems to be working relatively okay so far. You haven't heard too many players come out against it. Like Connor McDavid was pissed about missing the memorial service for his former teammate with the one incident. The Canucks bitched a little bit when having to come back without much rest after the layoff. But it hasn't been like an outrage, right? Yeah. It's just been like they've said there's peace, kept it moving. I think I wouldn't have hated if more teams would have forfeited games during the regular season, especially those teams like when the Canucks are playing, like they're out of the race already. Like, yeah, let's just forfeit.
Especially with the protocols that they put in place. I mean, they've had probably the strictest protocols of any sports team, right?
Like, seems like it.
No eating, you know, no eating out, whatever. No,
not even in the same rooms, hotel
all those
room.
Things,
yeah.
Right? Like a lot of the other sports teams, maybe baseball's doing that a little bit now, but like that was not implemented in the NFL. It was, yeah, you couldn't do any of that stuff on the road, but like during the week, like they couldn't control anything, right? At least like in hockey, 3 days during, you know, 3 days a week or whatever, it's, you know, you're playing on the road or whatever, they can control everything. You're staying in a hotel two of those nights, whatever it is, right? But these protocols are serious. They followed them to a T, and, you know, obviously they should be able to crack down consequences the way that they're talking about cracking down, because at the end of the day, they've given you a completely controlled environment, and if you want to break them, then that's on you. Everybody knows exactly what they're playing for. They know the stakes. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, you've made it this far. You can go another 2 months or so if you're going to go on a run here. Like, it's really time to buckle down and focus. So again, yeah, if you're breaking it, bring the hammer down, so to speak. And if you get a forfeit a playoff game, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like that's nothing to sneeze at. That is a huge consequence. But if it has to be done, it has to be done, because look, we're at the end here, so to speak, with a lot of, like, the vaccine's rolling out. Everybody's getting taken care of. The cases are down. It seems like, I don't know, I'm not a medical expert, but like, it feels like everybody's ready to move forward. And if you're not, you're going to be left behind. So fucking penalize them accordingly. It's playoffs. It matters. It's serious. It's that important. You're forfeiting playoff games. You fucked up. You deserve it. It's on you. The last thing I wanted to get here and get you guys' opinion on, Elliot Friedman mentioned this. For the season next year, we know that now the Canadian division isn't here to stick around. They're going back to the old division formats. Now, what has been presented to the league are two different options in terms of scheduling. There's one that is basically a conference-based schedule format for playoffs, and then a division-based. So I'm going to go ahead and read you the conference one first and tell me what you think about this. This is home and home with the opposing conference. So that's 32 games of home and home series. Three versus the other division in your conference. That's 24 games. Then 26 in your division. That means four against five of the other teams in your division and three against the other two. So we're talking Pens Flyers, Rangers Devils, Islanders, etc. Then that leads to the previous playoff format as well, like it's been in the past, the conference based with the wild cards and everything. Okay, the division based option two here is home and home with the other three divisions for 48 games. Four versus each individual opponent, so that's 28 games, leaving room for six quote-unquote special games. And this is their example, such as historical or geographical rinks, for example, like getting Toronto and Vancouver matched up more. Yeah. Starting at 4 p.m. Pacific is Elliot Freeman's example. Those would likely be division-based playoffs. I think that's kind of cool, and I kind of like that option because I feel like you're getting a look at everyone in the league, and you're not really losing the division rivalry sense, and you get an option to see some pretty cool matchups with these special matchups. Like that could be some cool Winter Classic type games, things like that. Like I think you could get real creative with that. You could play some games overseas. You could play some games anywhere, really. You could get real creative with the rinks and how you do it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that is cool, but I'm such a purist. I really am. When it comes to these sports, I hate when they constantly change the rules. I hate when they constantly change formats or divisional setups and things like that. I just want it. I mean, I understand when you add teams, there's got to be some, you know, things that are going to switch and move and some moving pieces. But I'm a big fan of just kind of staying with the purest examples of, you know, any sport, whatever it is, hockey, football, whatever. Like the rules were made because of that and you stick with them. The divisions were made because of that. And I understand some things are going to change as you add teams, but I'm a big fan of the old school format and the original format that it was, and just kind of play it out as it is. This East or this divisional thing that you're talking about could be really cool. And like you said, like you could create some really cool matchups in those six special games, but I'm also still a big fan of the original format and kind of rolling with the same playoffs.
I hear you. I don't think
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, if COVID didn't happen, I don't think anything would have changed, right?
No, they would have realigned slightly for Seattle coming in, like, but they were planning for that before COVID anyway. Yeah. So,
I just think if it wasn't for COVID, let's just go back to how it was. It was great.
See, the way these are formatted, I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
Yeah.
And the idea of the special games excites me because then you could have a rematch of the cup finals in a couple of those games, essentially from the previous year. You could have if you have two huge young stars, like if you have McDavid and Matthews, you can showcase a few more of those games nationally. You could get the McDavid versus Crosby a little bit more, things like that. I think that's maybe what the NHL needs too. Now that you're going to be on cable and off network so much, you're going to have to really sell those types of matchups and those types of things. So I think it gives a good example for that. But again, yeah, like to your guys' point, you can't go wrong with the old way. The old way was great.
Yeah, exactly.
And this new playoff format with the COVID thing, it's been exciting, but I think everyone's getting a little fatigued now of seeing the same teams like seven, eight times. Like, I don't know how many more Nashville, Chicago games I can watch. I don't know how many more.
Fair enough.
I don't know how many more. Pens Devils games I could sit through. They just went three in a row there, and I was like, come on boys, I need something else here. But that's my step stool, that's my soapbox for the day. Anybody else got anything else they want to get off their chests here?
All good.
That's why I love you guys. You don't complain.
Not me.
Hey, you're the host, buddy.
I love, you know me, I love everybody knows that.
Well, that's all we got for you today. Like I said, wanted to keep it quick. Follow along with us on Twitter at That's Hockey Talk. We're posting clips, we're posting fights, we're posting big hits, cool plays, anything and everything, huge saves. And check us out on YouTube if you enjoy listening to the podcast. Just go search for That's Hockey Talk YouTube. Go into Google, type that in, go into YouTube, search That's Hockey Talk. You'll see our big dumb faces pop up there.
Subscribe
to the new channel, please. Helps us out. We'll try and get some clips up there for you. We appreciate everything you guys do. Thanks for rocking with us. And That's Hockey Talk.
Cheers, boys.